Okay, the next point that is also the last of this part devoted to the control algorithms is related to the pure delay compensation. Making reference once more to the example that we have considered since from the beginning, that is the heat exchanger, we have said that we can have some possible sources for delays. For example, if we consider the point into which we locate the transducer for detecting the output temperature of the fluid that exits from the exchanging room, we observed, you remember surely, that the distance of that point from the real point into which the process is working, is happening, could introduce a delay in the overall acquisition and control chain. That is a delay in the capability of the control system to regulate, to tune suitably the process before it could diverge due a potential and possible modification of its working conditions. Another possible source for a delay is related to the measurement of the input temperature of the fluid itself. You remember that we said that the temperature of the input when entering into the room, into the chamber, could be considered a possible disturbance and must be measured just to compensate it by means of a feed-forward block. Again, in this case, the distance between the transducer and the process could be enough large and could introduce again a delay. Other possible situations can be considered, again, for example, related to the measurement. Another source for disturbance, you remember, is the flow rate of the fluid that must be measured, again, to be compensated. And if the flow meter is located not close to the process, to the heat exchanger, we have another potential problem. Other possible sources for a delay can be introduced by the process itself. You remember that when we described in a very elementary way the thermal process, considering the on-off control, we said that a process like this can be represented by a low-pass filter function time an exponential function that represents the delay due to the convection quantistic phenomenon through which the heat is transmitted from a particle to another one. Okay, the effect, the weight, we could say, of that phenomenon may be considered not so strong on the stability of the process, not so critical, but just to describe a situation into which the internal structure of the process, its, let's say, peculiar characteristics, are affected by delay themselves. And what is the problem related to a delay? The problem is that the microprocessor, the controller, in other words, will detect any variation in the process not immediately, not, let's say, contemporaneously, at least in principle, with the occurrence of the modification, and this compromises its capability of being effective in changing the control, modifying the manipulated variable so as to keep the system stable. But in this case we have another tool, let's say, numerically implementable, that can help us to avoid such a problem, at least after an initial transient. This instrument is called Smith Predictor, and let's see how it can work. First of all, let's consider as an example a step case input applied to a process that indeed is characterized by a transfer function like that we have mentioned, that is a pure delay expressed by an exponential term with argument minus s multiplied by t, the amount of the delay, divided by 1 plus s tau, the already mentioned low-pass filter. What is the answer of a system like this? It is represented in the picture in slide 31, in which we see that the step case is the black curve. The red one is the response as it would have been in case of only the presence of a low-pass filter expression, and the blue curve is when we include also the delay. So this figure says to us that for a certain interval of time the system is completely absent, no answer at all to the input solicitation. This interval is equal to the delay T gamma, and then the system starts to work, starts to answer, starts to react, we could say, and the blue curve expresses its response up to when it reaches the asymptotic value corresponding to the step case function that has been applied. Of course, we cannot pretend to do nothing against the nature of the process. That is, if the characteristic of the process is to be a low-pass phenomenon, an accumulator, let's say, of energy, we cannot change this behavior. But we can consider to do something to avoid the presence of the delay, especially if this delay is due not to an internal quantistic characteristic of the process, but, for example, as we have already said, due to a distance in the measurement of a certain process variable that we need to control the system itself. So, the idea is that we want to avoid to have a behavior like the blue curve, and instead we accept that the response of the system follows the red curve. We need, in other words, to apply a correction signal that eliminates the F prime transfer function and depicts the process as it would behave like the function fs. In other words, therefore, the correction signal that we have to insert is fs minus f prime s, and it is represented in yellow again in the picture in the right part of the slide 31. In terms of block chain in the acquisition control ring, we have that yellow square taking the output of the controller, compensating this output with a suitable function, and inserted the output of such a compensation of the delay into a part of the ring that is after the measurement stage and before the comparison between the new, let's say, process variable and the set point, just to improve the error perception of the controller itself. If the process variable that we want to have must be influenced only by the low-pass nature of the process, the compensation block that we have to introduce in the chain is 1 minus e power minus s t gamma divided by 1 plus tau. Now we know how to implement a low-pass filter in numerical terms, so we know how to carry out the part of the compensation function related to 1 divided 1 plus s tau. What it is necessary to implement now in a new way, at least for us, is the part 1 minus exponential function, and in particular what it is necessary to clarify is how to implement the exponential function, the pure delay. The first idea that we could envision is a block made up by several memory registers that implement in turn a RAM memory buffer organized in as a FIFO memory. FIFO means, as you know, first in, first out. That is, looking at the slide 32 in the upper part, block of memory, pink colored in the slide, into which a sample of the input E enters, and after many steps will exit from the other side of the block, called in this case U. No manipulations, no modifications are applied to the value that crosses such a set of memory locations. Only we force it to pass among several memory locations, they are called registers, and after all the passages, let's say, we will have the same value delayed by a certain amount of time. What is the time? The time is given by the number of the blocks that we are considering, that are m in the example we are explaining. Time, the duration necessary to pass from one register to the next one, from one block to the next one. This is a typical clock cycle, so we can conclude that the delay of such a solution will be represented by the amount of the clock we are using in this memory multiplied by the number of the cells of such a kind of block. When we said that the memory block is organized as a FIFO, we meant that the first element that enters from the E side of the block will be also the first one exiting from the right part of the block called U. But this means also that not only one element enters into the FIFO memory, but clock after clock, the block made by M registers will be completely filled. In the second clock cycle, another element, in the third, another element, in the fourth, another element. After M clock cycles, the FIFO memory will be completely full, and the next clock, the first element, will exit from the FIFO memory, and from that moment on, at every clock cycle, a new element will exit from the memory block. This is a very interesting way to carry out a delay and to have at every clock cycle one element of the functions of the function we are delaying that is ready in output to be managed. But at the same time, this is also the, let's say, drawback of such a kind of solution, since not only one element moves from a block to the next one and from the last block to the output, but all the elements that are present into the memory block are subject to such a kind of shift, or we can say undergo this shift from left to right. This is not a problem from the implementation point of view. It's a problem in terms of velocity, because this is an operation that implies a certain amount of time to transfer all the blocks, that is, to transfer each element from one location to the next one. The duration of the clock must be equal to a certain amount. That is, the clock must cannot be shorter than a certain duration, and clearly this affects the quickness, the capability of such a solution to be very fast in performing the implementation of the delay. More clever solution, or characterized by a minor level of overhead, is the one that is presented in the slide 42 in green. In this solution, we use a mobile pointer that addresses every cell of the FIFO block, so as at the first clock cycle, we will address, we will point the location as 0, and we will fill that location with the new input element of the E function. At the second clock cycle, we will fill the second location. At the third clock cycle, we will write the third location, and so on. For n clock cycles, at the end of the last clock cycle, we have filled completely the FIFO memory. So in this case, we have a set of operations that must be done in any case. But after having filled the FIFO memory, the next one operation that we will make is to address the S0 location, the S0 cell, in a, let's say, circular way, and we will rewrite the content of that block with the new element that must be inserted into the delay memory buffer. At the same time, the previous one will be read from that cell and will exit from the block. And the same operations will be repeated for the second, the third, and so on up to the end. And this iteration after iteration. Clearly, with this solution, the level of overhead implied is less with respect to the previous one, because at every clock cycle after the beginning phase into which we fill completely the memory FIFO, the FIFO memory, we will have only one cell involved in the output input phase, while the other cells will remain untouched. So, if in the previous solution all the cells are transferred at every clock cycle, in this solution only one cell is transferred at every clock cycle. And clearly, the duration of the clock cycle is potentially shorter, because only this operation must be carried out. The overhead in this case is less, so such a solution can be preferred to the previous one, but both the solutions feature a problem. That is, in case the delay is, let's say, relatively high, the number of the blocks that we need to consider could be very high. For example, let's imagine to have to implement a delay equal to 100 milliseconds. If the clock that we have is, for example, 500 megahertz, that is, every clock corresponds to 2 nanoseconds, how memory cells are necessary to implement, I repeat, 100 milliseconds, 50 million. So, if every cell is a byte, we are employing 50 megabytes of memory to perform such a kind of solution. The spread of memory in this case is very high and not acceptable. In this case, the problem can be solved by recurring to a different clock, perhaps slower than the previous one. I mean, if we have to generate a delay equal to 100 milliseconds again, instead of using a clock 2 nanoseconds wide, we can, for example, modify the timer so as a new clock equal to more or less 1 microseconds or even 1 millisecond is generated. In this case, the amount of the memory that is necessary to be used is considerably reduced. For example, in the case of 1 microseconds clock, we will need 10,000 bytes memory, that is 100 kilobyte, very easy. And in case a 1 milliseconds clock is generated, we will only 100 bytes as the memory for the FIFO that we need. However, not always this is easy to be carried out. So we can consider another solution that is shown in the slide 33, consisting in the generation of a sequence of R circuits whose transfer function is 1 divided by 1 plus S tau, that is the transfer function of a typical low-pass filtering unit. In other words, a cascade of M RC circuits can be used to obtain the total delay that we need to generate. Of course, we are not talking about an electronic solution. Instead, we are conceiving a sequence of blocks that implement a function that we have already seen numerically, and that is very easy to be implemented, to be written with a suitable code into a microprocessor. Looking at the slide in the upper part, we see that we can demonstrate that the overall delay that we have after a group of M blocks each one featuring the low pass transfer function that we have mentioned is equal to the summation of all the single delays. If the delays are all equal, we can write m multiplied the time constant tau of each block. Why is this true? Because if we consider the expression of the pure delay in the Laplace domain, that is e power minus st, that can be written as 1 divided e power st, we can develop such a function as a Maclaurin or Taylor series development, maybe stopping the series at the second or third term. For example, in the figure we have a development that after three elements is stopped, so we are clearly making an approximation, and we say that the exponential function is equal to 1 divided by 1 plus st plus st power 2 divided by 2. The true development would be considering the summation of all the terms st power n divided by m. But just to be enough accurate, we suppose that after the third element, the approximation can be considered acceptable. A further approximation could be replacing the 2 in the last term with a 4, so as to express such a kind of term, like as 1 divided by 1 plus st half power 2. And generically speaking, we could write that e power minus st can be considered with a certain degree of approximation the limit when m tends to infinite of 1 divided 1 plus st divided by m power m. That is basically what we have said, in other words, at the beginning of the description of this slide. By constructing a cascade of several circuits, each one basically with the same transfer function with respect to the other ones, finally we have a delay that is the sum of all the delays, and in the Laplace domain can be expressed by the classic function e power minus st. Assuming that t is the time that corresponds to an answer that reaches the 50% of the asymptotic value, and supposing that all the blocks feature the same delay tau zero, we can assume that the time necessary for achieving the asymptotic value if a step case function is provided in input is the product of the time constant tau zero multiplied by the square root of m of the number of the stages that we are considering. And since tau zero in turn is basically t, the overall delay divided by the number of the stage, the time necessary for reaching the asymptotic value is or can be expressed as t, the delay that we want to implement, divided by the square root of m. And when m tends to infinite, this value tends to zero. That is, when the number of the stages on which such a kind of implementation is based becomes very large, the time necessary to reach the asymptotic value, the time for let's say rising up the answer of the system, basically tends to be null, and the response of the system to a step case input is a step case output with the delay t that we want to implement. And this is clearly easy to be appreciated also in the picture that is shown in the final lower part of the slide 33, that shows the curve expressing the answer of the system to a step case input with the time necessary for reaching the asymptotic value, that is called t sal, and the delay with respect to the solicitation in input. We defined this delay as the time necessary for reaching the 50% of the final value. If the number of the stages becomes very high, t sal is reduced to zero, t clearly reduces, and it will be equal to a delay from the origin of the t-axis up to when the curve reaches the asymptotic value. But in this case, due to the fact that the t-sal is a zero and the t reduces a lot, this kind of curve will assume the same shape as the input step case solicitation. Okay, this ends this section devoted to the control algorithms that we have seen made up by three classic algorithms that can be applied to every industrial situation in which we have poles that must be compensated, together with specific tools, we could say, that are devoted to the management of disturbances, of delays, and to the reduction of the poles in case some of them are strictly related and relative to the different components that carry out the actuating mechanism in the control chain. From now on, our attention will be concentrated on the processes. That is, not a trivial part of the general problem of the control is related to the definition and the identification of the transfer function that characterize the particular application we have to control. The gain of the acquisition chain, in fact, is mainly dependent on such a kind of transfer function, and actuators and transducers typically add one, two poles at maximum, but the stability of the overall system is not compromised by such a kind of transfer functions, but strongly depend on the peculiarities of the process. This is a very good and difficult challenge because the definition of the transfer function of the process involves our competences in physics, in electronics, sometimes in mechanics, in the identification of the physical characteristics of the process, generally speaking. And not always this is easy to understand, or we have, let's say, enough competences, enough skills to write a suitable equation. From the next week, we will deal with such a kind of problems that typically are the most challenging part of the exam. First of all, we will start with a few processes that I will present to you with the suitable slides that are contained in the file called Processes. I'm translating it in English and I will send it onto the website next week. Here we will see four or five situations into which we begin to assume, let's say, the mentality necessary for approaching such a kind of situations. After this part, we will deal with the exams. So we will consider recent texts and we will try to understand how to solve them with the knowledge that we have on the basis of the previous courses. Moreover, we will see also some few, in general, questions that are written at the end of the text that are requested to you just to verify the comprehension of the different topics of the course. Typically, these questions are not talk about this topic, describe this issue, and so on, but are related to specific points. For example, why this is the choice in that transducer, what motivates the usage of such a kind of network after that transducer has measured a suitable physical magnitude, what happens if I eliminate this component in that circuit, and so on. The aim is to train us to understand the mechanisms that are at the basis of the things that we have learned and to explain them in the proper way. I invite you, finally, to exploit the possibility of those moments into which typically on Tuesday afternoon and Thursday afternoon I have, let's say, an hour into which I can answer to students' questions, mainly by email, sometimes with a Skype connection. This could help us to understand better, but also from my point of view, to explain, to clarify better those concepts that may be not completely understandable in this form of podcast registered explanations.